I was in the mob for 1 year.
You knew you were destined for show business.
So you've seen it all.
Pulled off his toupee.
Let's go see that lizard.
Mickey, Mickey, you so fine.
People think it's like a show for a four-year-old.
But they haven't got the mushy piece.
Bam, arrest, 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 arrest.
The worst part is, you'll never know.
I feel sorry for you.
What happened in Vegas with Piff and Paul?
Welcome to What Happened in Vegas with me, Piff the Mad Dragon, and Paul Dubek. Doing the introduction at some undisclosed point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows when this is?
No, who knows when this is, but you will be able to carbon date it using our hair. Well, not carbon dating our hair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You'll be able to, sleuths will work out.
How often do you get your hair cut?
Now you, two different things, you see. It's never an easy answer, is it?
Yeah.
When I was at Mad Apple, not that regular because I needed that long hair to get that real slick back kind of, you know, Guido look.
Yeah.
But now, not as regular, as you will be able to tell by these bits that I'm struggling to keep,
6 weeks?
Keep down. Yeah, I have a really good hairdresser and I really like them, but they're expensive.
They're so good, they won't see me.
They won't see you, yours.
Like, you recommended them to me and I wrote to them and they were like, we're not taking new clients.
Really?
I'm like, what? It's a haircut.
Wow.
You can't. You won't give me a haircut.
I need to have a word.
Yeah, they won't.
I've got my own hairdresser now. They won't see me.
Oh, they won't see you?
No, they will. But I'm one of those people. I can't book a hair appointment for 3 weeks' time, which is so stupid because, of course, you can do it and it just comes around. But my brain and schedule, you know what it's like trying to get me to commit.
I now book the appointment.
As you're leaving.
As I'm leaving. Well, they come to me now. It's this great, it's one of Janice's friends, Vicky. Yep. Is it your friend or cousin?
She's my mom's cousin.
Mom's cousin.
So she's like, my aunt cousin. It's because she's like only 7-8 years older than me, but
I thought you were about like, she's only $7.
No, but she's my mom's generation though. Does that make sense? So she's like my aunt cousin.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you
mean. Your mom's 7 years older than you.
No, of course not. My mom is... She's born in 72, 53.
No, I get that. It's like when you have a cousin, but they're like an auntie's age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But she's very good. And she comes over, she cuts my hair.
What else are you doing even when she cuts your hair?
Sweeps up the hair.
What are you doing? What else are you doing whilst you're having your hair cut?
Nothing, usually.
Really? You just sit there?
Very, very well behaved when I get a
haircut. Do you talk or do you do?
God, no.
You put your headphones in or like, not headphones, I suppose.
It would be more honest if I put my headphones in.
Yeah. So you sit there and pretend to be engaged in your haircut.
Yeah.
When really all you're thinking about is, ooh, I'd love to be playing Zelda or
No, I'm just Mario thinking, Kart. When is this going to end? I remember when I was a kid, like, I have one of those, like, core memories of crying in a hairdresser's chair.
Oh, I used to do that all the time. I was so, the thing I hated so much was the itchiness of, like, hair clippings
to me that used to last like 3 days.
I know, so weird. And like, it was the fact I realized how, you know, I have a pretty low tolerance for pain or discomfort right now, but I must have been the fact that now I go for a haircut and I go off and do other things
and you don't
whatever,
notice it,
and I
right?
like go shower in the evening. I go, oh yeah, I had a haircut last night. But I was inconsolable. My parents would have to haircut, get him out of the chair, take his shirt off, give him blow on his neck to get it all off, put a clean shirt on, and still then I'm like, it's itching.
I had to have a bath. Is that, has haircuts just come on a long way, or have we got more tolerant?
I mean, it was a barber, so it was like, all that sort of stuff. But
I've never had that problem.
I enjoy a haircut. Going for my haircut because it's the only, they do the like, you know, the shampoo and condition in the sink, and like it's like I'm getting a massage. And
well,
I'm
just like, oh, it's just do the massage
as they're doing the.
Oh, they don't do a separate one.
As they're doing the conditioner.
Yeah.
So they do the thing, wash it off, they put the conditioner in. That doesn't really foam, does it? So then they do this really nice massage, and I'm sort of like, in a non creepy way, it's just so nice to be touched. There's your soundbite. I've said it. Don't worry. I've said it to my hairdresser. I think the first time I got my haircut after the pandemic, I was nearly cried because I hadn't been like touched a human being in so long.
Gabriel's wife, Rachel, cut my hair for a long time when they were in Vegas.
But she's very maternal. Well, she's a mom, but you know, she's a very caring, kind person. So I can imagine that would have been a very nice experience.
Very nice haircuts. And Vicky's also very nice haircuts.
That's,
doesn't say to me, I'm not taking new clients anymore.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm going to have a word with that person who I love. Actually, she's advocating for herself. She's very busy. The haircut price keeps popping up a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah?
I guess there's been one hike, but I'm like, for a men's haircut, but it is an hour.
And it's one of those things that's AI proof.
Yeah. Plumbers. Hairdressers.
Maybe I should be a hairdresser.
Well, the thing is, it's a bit like we're all plumbers, in a way, if you're a performer, aren't you? Because you can only really charge for your time.
Right.
You know, or maybe you sell some product on the side or whatever else. So I do kind of understand it. I'm like, you are what you can charge out your time. And then there's those celebrities that's why they all come out with, you know, the Rock's got his tequila and da 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 da, because you can charge whatever you can charge for doing a movie. But it's not like you could start a plumbing business where you hire out people and then that's where the big money is, you know? Everybody thinks that, you know, it's celebrities and rock stars that make the money, but they didn't until they started selling product.
Whereas really
you
was,
sold a lot of product. There used to be a mountain of
there used to be
stuff,
a lot of dogs
Mr. Piffles
here,
there.
And we sold them all.
I sold a lot of them on tour.
You did?
I did. I was trying to flog my merch off the back of your tour.
Yeah, you were selling like some trick.
I had a really good, it's a great trick. The deck that prints itself. It's like a really good trick.
Is that something you did on the streets?
No, but I have this thing about, like, you have some really good quality merch. I am going to say that. That's not a plug because we're sold out. Can't get a haircut. Can't get a stuff, Mr.
Can't
Piffles.
Get a dog.
Can't take you on. But you do have really nice merch, like good quality. And I have this thing about, like, I hate going to things and people are just flogging some, like, magic trick that falls apart or something the moment you get it home or something. Or it's like a bit of thread that maybe breaks or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're a young kid or like someone buying that trick and then you get home and it's just done and you're like paid for it. And so I always like to sell a trick that I feel like is going in someone's hand and it is going to be like something they can do for years, or it might start them off on that magic journey. So it's like, you want to be a good trick, but you don't give away too many secrets.
And you don't sell this on a street?
I don't, on the street now.
Yeah,
or
no,
did
no
I?
When you, in the past.
No,
when
I was
you were
like,
doing your street
no,
act.
No, because talking about that whole street thing, you don't want too many asks.
Right.
So like, I knew people that used to be like, put this amount in and you'll get this or that or the other. And then it confuses the water and nobody, you never, it was always better to be like, this is the show. Hopefully rip them a new one with a really great show. And then be like, this is what I think it's worth, and if you can afford it, great, and if you cut, and all the lines or whatever, and then you need one ask, you know, one call to action. You've got them for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
If you start clouding it with, oh, you get this or that, or, and that's why I don't, well, I mean, I don't street perform now, but I don't know if I could go back to it, because now everybody's doing tap and contactless, and again, I think it like...
Tap?
Well, yeah, because nobody carries cash.
Oh.
So can you imagine doing like, there's no romance to the...
A line of people waiting to tap
it's
you.
So,
oh,
it's so...
The worst.
Yeah. Well, I would have killed for a line of people waiting to tap me at the merch stand on your tour.
Yeah, that didn't... They weren't...
It didn't happen. They all wanted to stuff Mr. Piffles.
You know,
those things fly.
Those things fly off the shelves.
They do. They love them.
Yeah.
They love them. You really... How much money do you think Mr. Piffles the First would have made just on his likeness being sold?
I don't know. I'm speaking to somebody
about
licensing.
Well, you do, because you made it instead of him.
He received some of it.
Yeah.
He got like one dog bed's worth.
Well, no, that dog was spoiled for sure.
He was sport rotten. You know who I think we should introduce now?
Mm-hmm.
We were going to introduce somebody else, but I think we should introduce a different person. I think we should introduce Jimmy the Usher, because this is one of our favorite interviews we did.
And this was eye-opening. Like, we thought, let's be fully honest, we're just starting to get the podcast together. We're like, we'd love to have some guests that we know, that people know, and some guests that people don't, and interesting characters. And you're like, oh, be great to have Jimmy the Usher. Yeah. You know, he's worked in Vegas for years, and you know, it'd be interesting to get his insight. He dropped some absolute truth bombs that blew our mind.
This is one of my most favorite interviews.
Brilliant.
I've ever done. So, Jimmy the Usher, take it away. We're here with the man, the myth, the legend from the Flamingo Showroom, Jimmy the Usher. How's it going, Jimmy?
Very good, thank you.
Well, thank you for taking time away from helping everyone find their seats at the showroom and removing drunk people from the Piff the Magic Dragon show. How many drunk people do you think we get compared to other shows? Are we light on drunks?
Yes, we have a lot here.
And we have a lot in Vegas, but in the Piff show?
In the Piff show, not like RuPaul. RuPaul has more.
RuPaul has more. But compared to Donnie and Marie, who were in the show
a lot
before,
more.
We have a lot more.
Donnie
than,
and Marie didn't drink.
No.
We didn't sell 10 drinks in the bar.
Oh, they didn't sell them? Really?
They had
in the audience?
So not only did they not drink, their audience didn't drink.
They are Mormons and they don't drink. They can't even have Pepsi.
Oh. Yeah. But the audience just like followed suit out of loyalty.
Most of them was all Mormons coming here.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But Donnie was strict Mormon.
That must be the nicest show to usher for.
Very nice.
The Donnie and Marie
very
show.
Polite, very polite, very calm.
Now, I imagine RuPaul is one of the more difficult shows to usher for.
Yes.
And so where do we fall in the mix there?
I would say in the middle.
Really. Oh, that's in the middle.
Yeah, I would say in the middle because you still have drunk people coming in because they go up by the pool, get drunk at the pool, and come into our show.
Then they're like, let's go see that lizard.
Well, you got
let's go see that angry dragon.
Yeah.
And then I rile them up.
Yeah.
And then you have to step in.
Now, I wasn't asked you the question. The other night, you said one strike. Now, that means one strike only. Next time he does something, I can tell him to go out.
Yeah. So what happens is if there's somebody who's ruining the show, then officially I'm supposed to say, okay, here's one strike, here's two strikes, and then third strike, you're just out straight away. Right. You don't get any more warnings.
Right.
But what happens is I underestimate the issue.
Right.
And so I go, oh, you can have one strike. And then immediately I go, no, they should have been gone.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So then the ushers have to intervene and drag them out with that. They're like, I've got two more strikes.
Oh, really? They say they know they've got two more strikes. Well, they know the rules.
They know the three strike rule.
Oh, right.
Well, you know that guy that you did the one strike last week?
Yeah.
He came to the RuPaul show.
Oh, there you go.
And we talked to him. He was very nice. And we told him, if you hit... drink and have any drink, we letting you go out. Can't stay. Do not yell or do anything. You'd be out right away. He said, I'm very sorry. I was sorry for Piff. I was sorry. So
why didn't he apologize to me?
Yeah. Well,
that's hard to apologize to. I've tried several times.
I think his wife or girlfriend really bawled him out. And he was like this all night.
Oh, no. Yeah. And he wanted to go back in for another chance. So how many years have you been at the Flamingo?
10 years.
10 years at the Flamingo. And in Las Vegas as a whole?
I was 40 years at the Tropicana.
40 years at the Tropicana as an usher?
I was, I started out as a busboy.
Yeah.
Showroom waiter.
Yeah.
Captain, assistant maitre d', banquet manager, catering manager.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you've seen it all in Vegas. 50 years in Vegas.
60-something years on the Strip. I started on the Strip when I was 15 years old at the Dunes Hotel. I was working in the busboy in the coffee shop.
You were 15 years old?
Yeah. 1960 I started.
1960.
Yeah.
And who was playing the Dunes?
Which one?
Who was playing at the Dunes at that time?
Casino Dupree.
Right. What's Casino Dupree?
Like the Follies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Like a sugar.
They had other singer. Then they went right when I started. They started the new show.
Right.
And it was a good show. Casino Dupree started as Tropicana, and Dunes all had, and MGM too.
They all had the same show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all girly show. Really nice shows.
Yeah. Not like the sort of dragon trash.
Dragon. No, this show, the lounge here.
Oh, the lounge, yeah. Yeah.
They had lounges in every show. Every hotel, they had a lounge. No charge, none. You walked right in, then they got one drink charge, But they had all good singers. Elvis would come, Sinatra all the time going in a lounge. Because he, all his friends was on the lounge.
That was a huge thing, wasn't it? When that was very trailblazing when they first started putting really famous acts in the lounge. Oh, all they of was a all sudden.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that was they a huge deal, right?
Oh, Kenny Rogers, Cher, everyone in the lounge act.
Yeah. Wow.
Everyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because people kind of say,
and they graduated from the lounge to the showroom.
Right. And they sort of sometimes say, oh, lounge act, in almost a little like as if it wasn't as much. But back then it was like big names.
And we used to get off work at 1 o'clock at the lounge to 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. Yeah.
Amazing.
So you used to get off work, go and hang out with all these, with Cher.
And all the people, yeah.
Wow.
They were very, very friendly. Everybody was just fantastic. I mean, they had a few drinks in them too.
Right.
So has the dragon invited you out till 2, 3, 4 minutes past 8 or anything?
I don't go past that no more. I go to bed at 12.
Well, nor does the dragon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, I hear all these stories from Penn.
Right.
And, you know, like when he was my age, hanging out with all of the other headliners on the Las Vegas Strip. And I'm like, oh yeah, as soon as the show's done, I just take myself off to bed and
put your neck pillow on.
Put my neck pillow on, have a nice cup of cocoa.
Well, it was so busy now. Then it wasn't busy. You could get in your car and drive right down the street and park right in front of the hotel, get out, don't park at no valet and nothing. Just walk in, see the lounge. You want it to for 30 minutes, go back, get in your car, go back to bed.
Did everybody know everyone back then, even if you worked at different hotels?
Okay, when I graduated from high school, the population probably was 50,000 people.
Wow. 50,000 people?
Now, I have to correct something. It had probably 80,000, but you don't realize Vegas, this is not Las Vegas, this hotel. This is not Las Vegas.
No, Las Vegas is down the road where—
past Sahara.
The Golden Nugget is, yeah.
Sahara, Fremont. Yeah. But Sahara is the— you cross over Sahara, you'll be in the county.
So we're in paradise.
You're in paradise. Then the next one, Enterprise— yeah, I think you live in Enterprise.
I think I do.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You go to that Italian restaurant, Romano's or something. I go there.
You go to Romano's?
Yeah.
Very good. God.
Yeah.
I love that place, but they're so nice to me that now I can't go in there anymore because I'll go in, like, get a sandwich and they'll give me like 19 other dishes and then make and then watch me try and eat them all.
Right. And I'm sure they're not small helpings.
No, they're like, oh, come on, have some gelato, more gelato, eat the gelato.
Yeah.
I'm like, too much gelato.
It's love. It's in the, you know, food is love in the Italian.
You can kill with love.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can kill with love.
Yeah. You can kill with love. What a way to go, though.
Yeah, it's a good way to go.
But he knew everybody in Las Vegas, 50,000 people, all the owners of hotels, and just junior manager, everybody knew everybody. And, you know, we knew all the kids. Tony Basil, you ever heard of her?
No.
Mickey, you so fine, Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
I went to school with her.
You went to school with her?
Yeah, Mickey, you so fine. She was 2 years ahead of me. And she would teach, she got very popular. She would teach during lunch period, if you wanted to come down to this room, she would teach us how to do all the dances. So I used to go down there, hey, Tony, okay, we want to do how to do the stroll. So we learn how to do the stroll. I mean, it was just fantastic.
You knew you were destined for show business.
Right.
You knew it.
But she was great. She Frank Sinatra, his cousin was the band leader at the Tropicana. And I'll tell you a funny story. They had in the showroom, they had three acts. Like Siegfried and Roy would do an act. Well, he was at the Trop too. He started at the Trop.
Frank did.
Frank's cousin was the band leader of the Follies, and they had and Gus was a act for 15 minutes. Gus had a monkey, and all of a sudden, the monkey grabbed Frank's head, pulled off his toupee, because in those days the band was in the stage, and only he could see his head sticking out.
A monkey pulled off Frank Sinatra's toupee.
No, his cousin.
His cousin.
Oh, his cousin.
Cousin.
Oh,
yeah, Frank's cousin. But then, did he know any of the acts at the Trop? Or any acts?
Me?
The
Trump?
Well, did he ever meet Siegfried
when did
and Roy?
Last birthday.
He met Siegfried and Roy?
I never met Siegfried and Roy.
No, me neither.
Now, what about Lance Burton? Did he start at the Trump?
He started at the Follies.
Yeah.
Now, Dirk Lance, Arthur was there.
Now, do you know Lance is the reason that Jade and I are together?
Really?
Yeah. He introduced us.
I didn't know that.
Lance was fantastic. He never said a word in his act. He did a 15-minute act, 10, 15, not one word with his acts.
The doves. Yeah, the doves and the candles and the cuts. And then he had the sword fight.
Yeah. And Siegfried and Roy, they started here, and the Tropicana really loved them and said, hey, they was filling in on vacation from an act. And they said, hey, we need the money. We can't wait around for the contract. So they went to some other place, ended up at Stardust and became multimillionaires.
Right. That was a big room. The Tropicana showroom was a big room, right?
That was the second room.
Ah, okay.
They went bigger later. Sammy Davis.
Yeah, okay.
Super. But Siegfried and Roy had an act with a tiger, and the tiger would be up in the roof. He had an accident one time with the tiger. He had a showgirl on the one side and the tiger on the other side. And he put the showgirl up, and then he pulled the curtain and it was supposed to be the tiger. It didn't work.
What was it?
It came back with him, Roy. Roy did not disappear.
Right.
He forced to disappear and he didn't.
Where was the tiger? Because I would be quite alarmed at that stage.
At the alarm, they would come through the inside door and we would be serving drinks and everything going right for us every night.
Wow.
But Vegas would like say 15, when I was going to high school, you knew everybody. Everybody knew you.
Yeah.
So, and everything was cheap. Everything.
So would you say you fell in love with Vegas early on and didn't want to go anywhere else?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's different.
It's not the same.
It's not my Las Vegas.
Right. And how long do you think it's not been your Las Vegas for?
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Just when I arrived. Yeah. That is literally
That's
when I
what
arrived.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I ruined Vegas.
One look at this.
You did it.
I did it.
At this and you're like, this isn't my
That's
Vegas.
Not quite true. I've been here 12 years. So.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years to ruin it. That's what we're saying.
But it was different. I mean, it was just entirely different. It was free.
Everyone I speak to says the same sentence.
Yeah.
It was better when the mob ran it. That's pretty much what everybody says.
I was in the mob for 1 year.
You were in the mob for a year?
In the mob?
For 1 year.
Wow.
I didn't want to be in the mob. You ever heard, the Culinary Union?
Yeah.
Well, the Culinary Union makes a lot of money. They get a lot of money. And the culinary boss got killed. They shot him in the desert. And the mob wanted to take over the culinary. So this guy... Well, those are like 4 years later after the guy got killed, but the mob wanted to take over the culinary union, and they asked me would I run for president, and the other guy was secretary treasurer, and the secretary treasurer really runs the show, and he was the mob. He said, no, and I thought he was a really nice guy. I thought he was real nice. So I did it. All of a sudden, he had a building. We had go inside this building right on Las Vegas Boulevard in Charleston, and we'd be here every day, meet me every day here. We have to go out. He would go to the Stardust. Come on, Jimmy. I said, okay. They'd go to Stardust. And at that time, that was mob. I need $10,000 for run the show. Anyway, go down to the cage, get $10,000. Came back, put it in the pocket. The sheriff came to me and said, Jimmy, you got to get out of this. I said, how in the hell can I get out of it? I didn't know they was mob. I'm here every day with them. I can't quit now. I'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
He said, you're right. So I had 1 year of hell with them. I mean, they would talk.
Wow.
I mean,
how do you sleep when you're in the mob? Not well, right?
Oh, it was terrible. The FBI were right across the street every day.
Oh,
every
that's
day.
Not what you want.
My cell phone was bugged, but the sheriff.
They bugged your phone?
Yeah.
Real reason you never got a computer, right, Jimmy? No. After that, you were like, they're not tracking
no.
me.
No.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't have any computers at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I had. It was just amazing.
That's wild.
It was scary.
Yeah.
How'd you get out?
He lost the election.
Oh.
Thank God. I told her, I said, we ain't gonna win. We can't win. So the other guy beat us. And I said, thank God. And right after that, bam, arrest. Everybody in that building I was with all got arrested and got sent to prison.
Oh.
So,
and not Jimmy.
That is not how you want to.
No.
go.
And you got away with it, Jimmy.
Oh yeah, they knew
and
I
was. They didn't.
I was training
until today.
I was married, had three kids. I was a Boy Scout yeah. leader. I was.
I mean, it might have been a front. Yeah, we might be finding out the truth now, Jimmy.
Yeah, I was clean cut.
Wow.
And they.
I can't imagine what I would do if I suddenly realized I was in the mob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't. I mean, that's perfect to explain.
I was just naive.
The police officer's like, yeah, you can't do anything. The police are saying you can't do anything about it now.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it was. Yeah. Wow.
It was a crazy 1 year.
Well, and that's why, like, you know, being in show business, you suddenly realize why it was so great because, you know, it wasn't really about the profit. It was about laundering the money. So, you know, everybody goes, oh, yeah, well, we had all these free shows and this, that, and the other. Yeah. It's like, yeah, of course you did.
We would get money selling a ticket to buy a TV, and we go in a place, hey, give me 10 tickets. Sure. They was afraid of us. Give us 10, give us 10, give us 10.
Oh, yeah, you paid everything in tickets.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, when we pulled the ticket out, so-and-so won, I go over there and say, hey, you won the TV. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. They didn't want it. They was afraid of it. They knew we were the mob, and they was afraid of us.
Oh.
Yeah, it was crazy. Spilatro, he heard of Spilatro.
Spilatro?
Yeah, he's the one that ran the town.
That's who Joe Pesci's character's based on.
Oh, is it?
Casino.
Okay, you ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love the movie.
It's absolutely true. I knew everybody in there in that movie. I mean,
you knew everyone people. In Casino in that movie?
Not the actors.
The characters are based on.
Every one of them.
I lived in the Las Vegas Country Club for a little time, just a couple of years in the tower there. Yes. And they've got in the Country Club, they've got a photo of that the real FBI plane that landed because it ran out of fuel on the golf course when they were tailing them. And there's a particular house I think that Spilatro lived in, which is on a corner where you could see the one set of gates and the back set of gates at the same time. And that's why he had that house. It's fascinating.
Yeah,
I love all that.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
And they found him. They took him back to Chicago and killed him. They buried, had a hole. They brought his brother. His brother went in the hole. They beat the hell out of his brother. Then he was next and got beat with a baseball bat.
Just like in the movie.
That is not a good way to go in that movie.
No.
Oof.
And then you just left there in the baking sun. Oof. No, thank you.
Yeah, but every hotel, Flamingo was a mob. Dunes with a mob. Stardust with a mob.
Yeah.
Almost every hotel on the strip was a mob. It was all mob. Howard Hughes came in, bought five hotels up. That started it. Then all of a sudden, Corporation, they bought everything up. And the mob said, hey, this is great. We skim money everywhere. And all of a sudden, now they come here and want to buy our hotel for a lot of money. We made a lot of money. So.
So in the end, it worked out for them.
It worked out.
Some would say it's still the mob, just a different sort of mob.
Right.
A different sort of mob.
Right.
Well, that's what I had a friend. Do you ever meet Johnny Thompson, the magician, who had an act called The Great Tom Sony?
Yes. Well, yeah, he played a trop.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a trop.
Yeah.
And he's a very good with, yeah, he's very good with making things up.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
He was like one of our mentors. He was like Penn & Teller's mentor. Yeah,
he's well known for all magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a legend. My parents came to visit and I took them to meet Johnny. And Johnny kept saying, oh, God, the mob would have loved your son's act. And my parents didn't know what to
do. Oh, my God.
I was like, I can clean it up, Mom. I can clean it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you were at the trot for 40 years.
Yes.
And at what point did you move to the Flamingo?
Trop was going downhill.
Right.
It was done. There was nobody in the hotel no more.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm going to come to Bo. You know Bo.
Yeah, I know Bo.
Me and Bo worked together for 40 years.
Oh, really?
Bo worked there for 40 years.
From the Trop as well?
Yeah.
Bo was a good guy.
Yeah. Bo and me worked together. We went to high school together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jimmy, how was it when the Trop, you know, just got imploded? Was that kind of sad for you? Or was it, you know, was it just not the casino that it was for you? Or it must be a kind of a mixed feeling because they go up and come down in Vegas.
No, this was very sad.
It's kind of like one of the last dinosaurs, right?
Yes. No, everybody was sad.
It was the Sahara, I suppose.
We went there. The last party. I went there. It was very, very sad.
In our country, We just keep all our history until it's just inconvenient, and then we keep it some more.
And we, here, in our country, we keep other people's history as well quite often.
We love history.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We don't have no history in Vegas.
No, well, anything sits still for more than 20 minutes, you blow it up.
You go to Boston now, they have history.
Right.
We have not. They blow it up.
They just blow it up not immediately.
A lot of it's not built to last when you look at, you know, some of the buildings, even the new ones, you know, like right. off the strip, you know, restaurants.
Have you been to the Clark County Museum on Boulder Highway?
I think I have. Yes. Have you been there, Paul?
No, I haven't.
There's not much, but they very little history. There is history there, very little.
Right. But Las Vegas does date way, 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 way back as a very small kind of outpost, gambling outpost, right? I think it's like before air conditioning is where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
Because the thought of being out here.
What's that?
Oh, my goodness.
That's the house I lived in.
That's the house you lived in?
For a while,
yeah. And where's that, Jimmy?
It's on Boulder Highway.
That's on Boulder Highway.
In the museum.
Let's have a look.
Oh, that's at the museum.
That is at the museum.
You lived in the museum.
Oh, wow.
That was Railroad House, how Vegas got started. Las Vegas got started 1900, 1920, and they had to build all these houses for the workers, and that we would call a railroad. They only had two blocks of them.
Yeah, for the dam, right? They built all the...
Not for the dam. More for the railroad.
Oh, for the railroad.
Yeah. Now, my dad worked at the dam. He worked when the dam was here.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, that... The only thing left, really, there's very little... I can't remember when you go down the street. Used to be this place. Used to be that place, you know.
Nothing anymore.
There's nothing.
I remember speaking to a couple that I lived next door to that had been here a long time also. She was a showgirl. He was a bartender, moved out from the East. And they said exactly the same. You know, when they got here, there was like 45,000 people, 50,000 people. And where I was living on Sahara and Valley View, they were like, that was the end of Sahara. It was like dirt track. And now it goes all the way up to Summerlin.
It wasn't Sahara.
Right.
It wasn't Sahara?
It was called San Francisco.
Ah, okay.
And then it changed. And then they put the hotel there.
Yeah. Then Tropicana was called Bond Road.
Right.
What I want to know, Jimmy, have you ever worked Prim? Because Prim fascinates me. I'm so... do you think there are some tourists that make that drive from Los Angeles? Maybe they don't speak English or something, and they get through the desert, and they get to Prim, and they think, oh,
we're there.
Vegas isn't quite what I... You know, they see the roller coaster.
It's closer than I thought. Like,
it's smaller than I... And turn around and go back to...
It was very... 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was very popular.
It confuses me so much, Prim, why it's there and what it does.
It's dead. I used to play golf there all the time.
Yeah.
That's gone.
It's so strange.
They just shut it down last week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All of the hotels are shut now?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they used to have good actors playing there.
Right.
They had a lot of concerts.
Wow.
I used to go there all the time.
You used to go to Prim all the time just to hang out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go eat, gamble a little bit, come back.
What's the deal with all these, like the Boulder Station, the Palace Station? Or, like, are these people from Vegas going to those casinos to gamble?
The locals go mostly to the local casinos.
Right.
They don't go on the Strip no more. They used to go to the Strip all the time.
But not anymore.
Because you have to park your car at $35.
Yeah.
Valet.
Water's $22.
Right. Everything. They boycott.
Are the odds better at the local casinos? Are the odds sometimes better?
Oh, yeah. It's better? South Point is very good. I go to South Point. They have 11 restaurants. I eat there every week.
But are the gambling odds better or different, or are they the same?
I would say they all casino the same, but they just got, they know how to run a casino.
Right.
Are you a gambling guy, Jimmy?
No.
Me no.
No.
I
play a slot machine $100 once a month.
Once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I sometimes sit down at the, you know, if I'm having a drink, it's cheaper to sit and put $20 in the machine on the bar and get a free drink than to order one sometimes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not free, you know. You're
what's gambling, your biggest winning in Las Vegas? What's most you've ever won?
On a slot machine?
No, just like ever. In Vegas, what's the biggest
gamble you've
ever won?
Won big? No.
No.
Did anyone ever tip you real big?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. that why I was that how I started my bought a house, raised my kids. I made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was a captain, an assistant maitre d', and we had a showroom with stars in it, and
people wanted good booths.
A lot of probably people all dead now. They don't know, but they would give us $100, $50, $20.
Yeah,
but back then, yeah. they wouldn't be buying a ticketed seat. They'd be coming in, and you'd be giving them.
Now what happened is I lost my job because of the Ticketron.
Right,
they came in and put ushers in.
Yeah,
and then we used to. I mean, we would all pull the money together.
Yeah,
then we had a lot of money. Then that didn't last too long, but Ticketron took over everything.
Yeah.
Which is fine, really. Instead of I'm making the money, the corporation making the money now.
Yeah, there
right?
you go. Yeah.
But really, well, it did. They stealing money from me.
Right.
They're doing it. But yeah.
Now, obviously, you see a lot of shows because you're working in the
I don't go on the strip no more.
Do you ever go? Did you ever?
You don't go on a strip. You're boycotting it too?
Well, in the backyard, yeah.
You work here, yeah, but right. you don't go out.
No.
Work. Did you used to go and see a lot of shows?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Who apart from, obviously, our dear
Mr. Piffles.
Scaly friend over here, who was some of your favorite performers?
Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis?
The all-round entertainer.
Yeah.
He used to be at the Plaza. Oh no, that was Rat Pack.
He was everywhere. He was
all over the place.
Yeah, everywhere. Sammy.
I would have loved to have seen him.
In the lounge show here, they had Jackie Wilson.
You know Jackie
Wilson? I used to come. We used to get off work every night. He was in the lounge watching.
Wow.
Yeah.
I expect when it was a small town like that, it would be quite surreal because people would
come
here from all over, and it wasn't like it is today where there's, you know, everyone's got a camera or whatever.
Nobody's so playing a 7,000 seat theater.
Right. And everybody would come here and kind of, it's Vegas, you know, it's like a little
every
community.
Showroom was either 500 up to 1,200, 14, the most 1,500.
Right.
That was the most. Most of them, an average was like at the Flamingo.
Love the showroom here at the Flamingo.
And everybody comes in that showroom, they go, wow.
Yeah.
They just actually go, wow, and go crazy. This is beautiful. I mean, you don't have to dress it up.
No.
It's just
stunning. Oh,
they love it.
That one, the Plaza showroom, I love.
Yes.
I think the Flamingo is like one of the
The Flamingo's iconic.
Beautiful.
That showroom is iconic.
Yeah. It is. I mean, everybody just go, wow. They just take a picture right away. Right this way, please. No, yeah. I got to take a picture.
Because you do feel like you're stepping back in time.
And it's such a great room to play.
Yeah.
Wow. They actually say, wow, right when they hit the room.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. It's a great, it feels like in the best way, if you said, imagine a Vegas showroom, it feels absolutely the archetype.
It's like the quintessential.
The velvet, the gold, the velvet. It's beautiful.
The Grumpy Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were in the little showroom, now you're in the big, big showroom.
You know this, you know, Jimmy, when in November, it'll be 10 years of us doing the show at the Flamingo, and we'll have been in the bigger showroom longer than the smaller showroom.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I only found that out the other day.
Yeah.
I love this big showroom.
Your room is, you can put 200 people in your room and it looks good.
Yeah.
You can put 250, it looks great. He puts 300, it looked really fantastic.
Yeah.
But you can dress that room up. This room is very easy because the balcony, we don't open the balcony. No one knows about the balcony.
No. Yeah, because if you go to the balcony to watch our show, it becomes like how-to because you can see a lot of the tricks.
It's very steep, that balcony, isn't it?
You can see a lot of the methods. So, don't watch.
Yeah. Get your legs cut off. You go all the way up, you only see the head.
Yeah, it's funny. You can't see the runway.
No.
Because in COVID, when we started in COVID, we did 200 people in that room with socially distanced seating. And that included the balcony.
I remember.
People were at the back of the balcony.
I remember doing 50 people, only allowed 50 people in
50
there.
50 people at one point,
I think you were one of the first headliners back.
We were literally the first headliners.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Such a great room.
You know, it's a great room. Well, Jimmy, we love you being in the
room.
That's
the only room left in town, I think.
I think so.
Well, that's sure. Well, there's no other.
Right? There's not. Yeah. There's
maybe Harris.
Oh, Harris has still got
maybe the Harris room.
Yeah, maybe.
On the strip.
It's a little similar.
Sahara.
I haven't seen that. No. What showroom have they got there?
They've still got their big showroom in the Sahara.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
And they haven't like renovated
it? Nothing's in
yet.
It at the moment, I don't think.
Right.
And the one at the Plaza, obviously downtown, which I love that room.
Now, do you go downtown every Fremont?
I've been downtown. Yeah, I've seen there a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I've been known to go down there. Parts of Fremont I really like, you know, that they've regenerated a bunch of it. But there's quite a lot of... I like the Plaza. They've done a good job on the Plaza. But you do see some sights.
I mean, it's a different... The clientele.
It's a different world.
I wouldn't fancy trying to do a show down there anymore.
No.
And I love the showroom with the Golden Nugget.
Yes.
That's a great showroom.
Sinatra.
Yeah.
Did it. Sinatra had the Nugget.
They have his dressing room all set out still.
Yeah. That's where Amazing Jonathan was at, right?
He was there for a long time, yeah.
I met Frank many times.
Yeah. Always nice to you?
Yes.
He was connected. Jimmy was connected.
And also Frank was connected.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend. He was a maitre d'. And Frank got him the job at the Tropicana as a maitre d' because he had to take the fifth because Frank on Lake Tahoe up in a casino, and he was all the mob was inside the hotel and everything. The FBI raided the place. They all took off running and everything. And this guy was a manager of the room or bellman or something, and he took the fifth for Frank. So, nope, they wasn't here. He took the... There was all mob people, and he came to drop all the cannon and see the maitre d', and he gave him away for a wedding, paid for everything. And he gave, every time he came to Caesar Palace, he gave him 20 seats to bring his friends. He was just fantastic.
Yeah.
So I got along good when he came around. I had to get him a bottle of Jack Daniels every time he see the show.
Yeah.
I gave him a bottle of Jack Daniels. And he was just great with me. But I heard he was going to be mean to other people. But to me, he was very
nice. There's a great recording still on YouTube of like towards the end, you know, when he's still working. It's a color video of him playing somewhere later in his career. And he's definitely, I mean, he's chewing out the band at this place and person at that place. And this, he's really, you know, he didn't hold back with criticism.
No, he got in a fight and left the Sands. He was at the Sands Hotel for many years. Sands are the most popular showroom in town.
Right.
And Caesar Palace built the best one. And he got in a fight with the casino manager, I believe. And they got in a fight and he turned the table over and they had a fist fight. Hurt, and he got fired.
Got fired.
Wow.
Then he went to Caesar Palace. Yeah. Amazing. He
different world, different time.
And
love it.
And Dean Martin was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't drink.
He didn't drink?
That's right, he didn't.
Like me.
No.
I don't drink.
He didn't drink. He played like he did. He didn't drink.
And you play like you do.
Yeah.
I often look at you and I go, look at him chugging that tea.
Chugging that iced tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple of people review the show and accuse me of being drunk in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
The customer said, I think he's drunk. Yeah, a customer told me one day.
Yeah.
Because you keep drinking all that, going around drinking.
Drinking. People like what they're in in the sippy cups.
They got them set.
Set
them on the stage. That's so funny. Here, and he goes over there.
People come up to me afterwards and they say, what's in the cup? Because they want to know.
Oh,
really? And I always say to them, the worst part is, you'll never know.
You know why they thought you were drunk? Because you got that cold, you had horse in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, he's drunk. And I said, no, he had horse in his throat.
Yeah.
He'd taken medicine in his throat. He said, no, he's drunk. No, he's not.
See, look at that. Looking out for you.
I blew out my voice. It's okay now.
Yeah.
It's not as great. So, but for a year, it was bad.
It was horrible. Yeah.
I blew it out for like a year.
You did, yeah.
Just, you know, just like, it's a whole different pace of doing the show in that room.
Yeah, absolutely.
A whole different energy.
Yeah. And it's hard also with those headset mics, you know, they're great. They're amazing.
What
you have is amazing. But compared to like working a handheld where you've got so much more.
Yeah, you got a lot of room in that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm trying to get to 90.
Yeah.
I'm 80 now.
Yeah.
I might work another 10 years here.
Wow. I would love it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I do the same.
Yeah.
What do you love about... You obviously, we were talking about this just before, you know, you have to have a lot of patience working with, because, you know, people come to Vegas and then probably the worst behaved sometimes that they ever are.
I have fun talking to the customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with RuPaul, I really can talk to the customer.
Oh, well, RuPaul, you're in the show.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot.
Yeah, you know this? Jimmy's in RuPaul's show.
I didn't know that.
I'm Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Jimmy's got a starring role. Well, if you ever want to be in our show, Jimmy, just, you know, we can get you a dragon costume.
No.
No problem.
I'm fine. I'm.
He could be Pop's dad.
Pops, you could be my dad. Oh,
no, Pop. Well,
your dad. Yeah, your dad.
Because I'm just looking at the glasses and the goatee.
Your mom and dad is fantastic.
They're great people, mom and dad.
They are fantastic people. Yeah. We love them.
Every time
they come, they give us a mints from England. Oh, my God.
After eight mints.
And they know
after eights.
They are great.
And they've got a lot of class.
And sister, I didn't really meet too many times. Every time I see your father, I gave him a jacket. It was last time here, two times ago, you bought him cowboy.
Yeah.
And I said, I got a vest that go with that cowboy shirt. So I gave it to him. He said, no, it's too big for me. He gave it back to me.
Yeah.
He is great.
Yeah. I'm
a lot of people that can rock a cravat these days, but your dad is one of them.
Yeah. My dad is a special person.
He is a snappy dresser.
I think your mom got mad at you because of your cuss words.
Oh, she does.
I know.
No. My dad gets more mad.
Yeah.
My dad gets mad the most. But he doesn't say anything to me about it.
What does your dad look like when he's mad? Just the same? It's just on the inside?
He's the same as me. He's got a resting grumpy face.
Well, I feel like he's got stiff upper lip. He's composed, isn't he? He's like a proper gent.
Yeah, he like holds it in.
Yeah.
And my mom comes up to me and she's like, just stop cursing.
No, he doesn't.
And I try to, and the show's not as funny.
Yeah. Well,
but they won't like cursing.
What are you going to do?
Some customers, they do leave sometimes. They get a little.
Yeah.
You can't please everyone all the time.
Well, you know why? It's because people think it's like a show for a 4-year-old.
Right.
You know, and then.
Why would they think that?
Yeah, right.
Just look around.
We're working
It's like we're in a daycare.
It's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Everything goes in Vegas.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, we're always trying to find the perfect show. We haven't found it yet.
The most I ever laughed at you, one, this guy, the kid, came up to the show and he kept saying, blah, blah, blah. No, my name is Bobby. My name is Bobby. No, your name is Jimmy. You must be the stupidest person alive in the world. Remember that?
You must be the stupidest person.
The kid said that.
I love that. I am Bobby. And he keeps saying, no, you're not. You're Jimmy. And he said, you.
Oh, when he's playing Jimmy the Orphan. This Jimmy. Yeah, that's right. That Jimmy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, everybody laughed. I mean, you got a lot of laugh.
Oh, yeah.
When you get a kid
with
that personality, they're just sort of, they're fun, but they're also cheeky. It's perfect. You know, you get some that are just.
Yeah, I want everyone in the show to give me a little bit of hassle.
Yeah.
I want everyone to feel comfortable enough to push back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just shout at somebody until they weep. It's not a good look.
It's not a good look.
Yeah.
So do you like Las Vegas?
I love it. I cannot believe I love it as much as I do.
Right. I first came
in 2012. Had a bad experience. I was like doing a magic convention. It was not fun at all. I had a bad experience in the town. But I knew people like Penn, Teller, Matt King. You know Matt King?
No.
He was at Harrah's for 25 years or something crazy. And they said, no. It's like, they said, you come back. You'll see it another time. And I got offered a small role in a big show at the Cosmopolitan.
Okay.
And I came in for that and I fell in love with it. And then that show closed after 6 months. And I'd signed a 10-year contract and it closed after 6 months.
You signed 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years. And I was like, hey, I want to try and, land my own show here in Vegas. And it took about a year, but eventually I got it in a small room at the Flamingo and never looked back. I love it here.
Yeah.
And I hope it goes back to, what it was a little before.
Well,
it's unsustainable what it is now.
Jimmy's still here. Maybe we can have him.
I mean, one thing about you and this hotel, it's the oldest hotel.
Yeah.
It's kind of back to the old way. I mean, it really is. There's not like any other casino.
Yeah.
This is, and everybody comes here to see the Flamingo.
Yeah, it's the iconic Flamingo.
Yeah, they are. They yeah. come as we got as because of the movies and all that.
Yeah,
mm. yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and funny thing, other funny thing, I laugh almost every day. We have a customer coming up because there used to be Donnie and Marie's showroom.
Yeah,
they put up the Flamingo showroom.
Yeah,
we have customers come up. Okay, can we come in and see the Flamingos? I says, the Flamingo. It happens a minimum every other day.
Oh, you're that's kidding. Funny. They think minimum. The Flamingos are in there.
They come in, they come yeah, for the Flamingos, they see it. Stay for flamingo. The dragon.
Yeah. Wow.
This is the Flamingo, so they think
well, yeah.
Says, yeah.
It's amazing, but every, almost every other day, we laugh at it.
Well, I think, Jimmy, you should run for president of the Culinary Union again. Yeah. And then we can get it back to the old ways.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy can make some changes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time, to Jimmy.
My pleasure. I had fun. I was scared to death all day.
Oh,
didn't
no.
I didn't know what to say. I thought, oh, I don't know what podcast. What is it?
Yeah, podcast.
I said, I don't know what podcast is.
Well, it's so just I, this, and you've I absolutely aced it.
I asked my wife, I said, what is podcast? She said, let's look it up.
Oh, my God.
Just like a little radio show,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You no, just want to know I, all I, about you.
Most comfortable I've ever been.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Come see Piff the Mad Dragon. Yeah. Ask for Jimmy the Usher.
Okay.
And
I'll give him a good seat.
You'll give him a good seat.
But now we're going back to strike one. Do I kick him out?
Yeah. I'll work on my game.
$100 okay. bill. You want if you want anyone kicking out, you have to give him a $100 bill like the old days. No,
he does get, I mean, it bothers him. It does. I mean, they shut up. They don't
yeah, they just
up.
Talk. They just
I
talk.
Mean, he gets so mad and he's trying to calm him down. You can tell Piff is really helping him calm down.
Mm.
They get worse sometimes, and and you see him getting red.
Yeah, yeah, you see him getting angry.
Yeah, then I'll say, that's it, yeah. But it's bad to work with drunks.
Oh, yeah, yeah wow.
I feel sorry for you, really.
It's time for quick fire questions with Jimmy. Jimmy, favorite restaurant in Vegas of all time?
Chateau Vegas.
Where's that? Is that still open?
No.
Oh.
Where was Chateau Vegas?
Right across the street from the convention center.
Oh, okay.
DI.
On DI.
Near what's that?
Piero's?
No. Piero's.
Yeah. A block away.
What kind of restaurant was it? Italian?
Gourmet. Free?
Gourmet?
Gourmet.
Very good.
Oh, nice. Yeah. How long ago was that?
20, 30 years ago.
Oh, that's done.
Yeah. If you've got to go to a restaurant that's open now, what would be your pick?
You mean the new restaurant?
Yeah, where do you go? Doesn't have to be on the strip.
I go to Ellis Island, to tell you the truth.
Ellis Island?
Not Ellis Island here.
Yeah.
They have 15 other ones in town.
Oh. They have 15 other Ellis Islands. I didn't know that.
They're called Village Pub.
Oh, the Village Pub.
And you go inside that one is the Village Pub. Yeah. They also own Mount Charleston.
That burned down, yeah.
Yeah, and they're building it back up. But they got good food and it's around my neighborhood and it's cheap.
Village Pub, nice. Pro tip.
I get steak and eggs there once a week.
Oh, steak and eggs. Can't beat steak and eggs.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I went to school with the Ellis's.
Oh, you did?
Janice went to school with the Ellis's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the family that owns the station casinos, the Fertitas.
The Fertitas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fertitas. I always think that sounds like some Fertista? Spanish omelet.
Mm. Fertita frittata. Potato frittata.
Tomato.
Hilton knew Fertitas very well.
Hilton
used to want to buy Fertitas.
Oh.
Right.
He would never
sell. Oh, Fertitas. I've eaten there once.
Yeah, right here.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
That's how old is that?
50 years old.
50 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you eaten there?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I like Piero's. I like Golden. Well, you can't get in the Golden Steer anymore. Oh, it's so busy.
Forget it.
The Golden Steer now, because all the influencers
went. Yeah, everybody went, oh, this is such a great.
Elvis went there, Sammy went there, everybody went there. And you guess where it's at?
Mm.
Naked City.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, that's right. Naked City.
I lived there behind there when I first got married. I couldn't afford anything else. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's still pretty.
Oh, it's
Paul is close to that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I live at Spanish Oaks. So, like, one of the.
Spanish Oaks. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that's
it.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
It's old, too.
So old. 1970s.
Spanish Oaks.
B.B. King. B.B. King lived there till he passed away.
Yeah.
Colonel Tom Parker.
Jimmy, you have secret parking spots on the Las Vegas Strip?
Any top tips?
No, I don't have
any
none.
Top tips?
I wish I could. I would do one. No. Yeah.
Do you park in the employee lot?
Employee lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, parking, Vegas.
And now Vegas, parking is really hard, even in our lot, because of all the new rooms get opened up. They go in our lot.
So the guests go in the employee lot?
Like Hamburger Place,
the other concessions,
Pinkies,
and things.
All that. All their employees go there.
Pinkies is good.
Yeah.
Pinkies is really nice.
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
Actually, that helps the Flamingo Hotel, those three restaurants. The Cuban restaurant is very good.
Oh, the Cuban is?
Yeah.
I've eaten that. Yeah, I had breakfast there yesterday. Yeah.
It's good. So they got the new three restaurant. They should be fine.
Oh. Flamingo is popping.
Yeah,
I believe they say.
It's strip.
Charlie's and what's the Mexican
Carlos
place?
Carlos and Charlie's.
That's popping on TikTok right now. I've been seeing so many like must go here. Like it looks, I'm planning on coming.
There was one year when it had a health rating of B. But.
There is a waiter at Piero's who has the most fabulous hair straight out of the movie Casino.
Oh yeah.
You're one of the guys there. He's been there a while, I think. And I just love that old style tableside service.
Oh, I love it.
The chat, the maitre, coming from the UK and you come to that and you're
I don't really understand. Like, it's that everyone says, oh, this is the old style. This is the old way, old school. It's just the good way. I don't understand this new, why people want to do the new way, which is like people ignore you. You're just in imposition into
that. Well, you say that, but you don't like to be talked to too much at a dinner table.
No, I like people who are charming. When people do it well, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when people don't do it well.
That's very true, isn't there? Because you can have somebody come and give you the full rundown of the menu, but if it's done well, it's great. If it's kind of like, oh, you're still talking
about it. If it's sincere and people are like just, they're there to make you have a good time, I love that stuff.
Well, say that's like your usher team.
Where is your favorite place? Do you miss any food from England?
Yeah, and you can't get any good curry here.
Okay, it's hard to find good Indian
curry.
Do you like the cod fish?
Fish and chips you can't get either.
You don't like it?
Oh, don't tell.
There isn't anywhere.
Tell Gordon.
There's one place I just ate there.
Oh, I've heard about this. What?
The Codfather?
Codfather.
Yeah, the Codfather. Yeah. I've got to go there, but you...
But they haven't got the mushy
I ate there yesterday. First time.
Well, I'm going to go and eat there, and I'm going to verify it for you, because have you been to England?
No. No one can get the chips right.
It's the chips, right?
Yeah.
It's the one piece of fish.
The batter is fantastic.
Yeah. How many bits of fish do you get?
You get a lot.
Yeah, that's the issue.
I mean, normally it should be one big one. One big one.
That's what they get wrong.
Okay, one big one.
There's a British butcher here, Featherblade, really great English butcher, who's got Cornish pasties, sausage rolls, all baked.
The Cornish pasty company
British
is amazing.
British bacon. British style bacon.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'm going to take Jade to the Codfather.
I had a hard time finding it.
That'll be a good date.
I went four times up and down the street trying to find it. It was in Green Valley and Sunset.
Green Valley and Sunset.
Yeah, right by the Nevada Bank.
Okay.
So I had a call twice. I still can't find it. I've been going around everywhere.
But it was worth tracking down.
Yeah, it was good. Not great, but it was good.
There you go.
That's Jimmy's hotspot. Good, not great. That's the best we can do in Vegas.
Yep.
That's right.
That's the new Vegas.
We used to have bars all the time. We used to go, after work, too, we used to go to bars all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
I used to go Tommy Rockers.
Yeah.
You know that place?
Yeah.
Was there somewhere on Sahara called The Cellar or something where a lot of musicians used to play after hours? Because you know what I would really love to find is a good... I know we have the bar called the Stage Door, which is kind of like a bit of a dive bar kind of... And I mean that in the plus sense. It's that kind of style. But I would love to find or to have somebody open up a good artist, performer, you know, like a place where you go late at night after shows and everybody's there. We don't have that anymore.
I don't go to no more bars either because in the old days, he had no slot machines. You go to a bar, you talk to people. You talk to your person. You know, we get off work, we talk about, you know, all the bullshit we have.
Oh, they wouldn't have slot machines.
Now, they don't want you going to a bar. They want someone to come in the bar and play slot machines.
Yeah.
That's true. They want you just looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hitting a button.
They don't even know who you could be the president.
Yeah.
He ain't looking. Nah.
It's the worst. It is like you're just hitting a button for a treat.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Oh, there's a treat.
Terrible.
Come on.
And there's no bars. They make the money off the slot machines.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Dino's?
Where's Dino's?
It's like right on the edge of Arts District.
Dino's?
Dino's is on the corner of, Las Vegas and...
Yeah, let me look
it's, it up. It's, 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 that's a, You see some sights in there.
I love Dino's though.
You see some sights
Wyoming,
in
Wyoming and Las Vegas.
Yeah, but it's on that corner.
They don't have slot machines and they have-
They don't have slot machines?
They have karaoke.
They have the best karaoke I've ever seen.
It is a real converging of all different people. It's very interesting.
I thought I was getting pranked because every person just was better and better. I mean, I was getting drunker and drunker.
Oh,
but
right.
I look back at my videos and they were really good. They were crushing it. I was very impressed with Dino's. Yeah.
I did karaoke for about 5 years.
Oh. You did karaoke?
I can't sing. I would go.
Oh, you would host karaoke?
You would mime?
Oh. I went to all the bars with my equipment.
Wow.
Oh, fun. And
after a while, I said, I can't do this no more because they're not buying any drinks at the bar. They
right.
come in, buy one 7-Up or water, and they sit there all night, and owners finally got rid of everything after 5 years. They get rid of you. We don't want you. You hurt us.
Because oh, wow.
You want to have slot machine. And they take everything up, and they can't make no money.
Who's your favorite magician you saw in Vegas?
You.
Nah.
I don't. The only one I know is you now. The rest
over the years.
Lance.
Lance, yeah.
Lance.
Yeah, he's great.
Just like that, Lance.
I love it.
Yeah. He was great. Great.
Great guy as well.
Yeah, Lance.
Paul Daniels used to tell a great story. He's a British, was a famous British magician, and they used to come over to scout talent for his TV show, and they came to see Lance. And at the time, Lance was working in a strip club. It was before he'd even made it to one of the casinos. And he was in one of these strip clubs where they would have variety acts on
right.
in between some of the strippers. And he says, that's where we had to go to see him before.
I think they just mean they went to see Follies or something.
No. This was, Lance talked about it. And it's like early, early, early days.
Because Lance's original show, it was like a 7 p.m. family show, 9 p.m. topless show.
Yeah, but
he did it his act. But
that's the show. But when he was just doing the Doves and he first drove out here, he was working a strip club.
Really?
I didn't know that.
And Vivaldi's playing in a strip club.
I did not know that.
And then he'd do his bit and then girls back.
Because Follies was a topless show, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't that.
No. Yeah, no, all the Follies.
It was before he had a contract.
Oh.
Mondre does it. They say right. it still happens. Like right. Sapphires had right. had variety acts.
Yeah.
It was a thing. But I don't know whether it was to do with licensing that you had to have
maybe.
Some variety or whatever. But it was back when it was literal strip club. It's why some of them have the cabaret room. That what's it called? Is it Centerfolds? The one by Virgin.
Yeah.
Has got a beautiful stage and show like cabaret room. But but it's just a strip club. They've always tried to get a cabaret going in there, but they can't because
the
strip club.
I used to play the Playboy Club in London. That wasn't a strip club, but
right.
it was rough. It was like a tough room.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that one?
No.
Oh my God.
I
did it and I bombed so badly and I immediately went to the booker because no one would play it. And I said, can I do this again? And he said, yeah, you can do it whenever you want. I said, great, I'm going to do it a lot. And I kept going back until I could like do well there.
My run at Just for Laughs, or just off Just for Laughs, was Cafe Cleopatra in Montreal, which is the oldest strip club in town.
Wow.
And you'd turn up, and my show was like 6 or 7 or something. And the upstairs was the showroom and downstairs was and it was so funny. I was like 23. I'd be turning up with my stuff and the girls would be, hello. He like,
oh my God.
Out front. Yeah.
I love it.
Tough crowd.
I really enjoyed coming up and getting good at magic. Like any gig was just a challenge. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a bad gig. It was just okay, how do I go back and do better?
Did you have mentors that were kind of, cause like, who were you kicking around with? Or were you just
not
kind
really.
Of going around?
There wasn't, I mean, like all the mentors I had were like, hey, you should go and do close up at, you know, fancy dinners.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that because I wanted to be in show business.
Yep.
But did your parents want you to go to college and everything?
They did. I did go to college for them. Oh. I went and got a degree.
What's your degree in?
Computer science.
Ah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
It's why I can't fix this stuff.
Considering how long we've had to wait for you to power up the computer.
No, I know. I'm not very good. I only got a third class degree.
He's very good.
As we can
it's
see.
More than I got.
I'm terrible at Spelling and everything. I had a speech impediment when I was younger. His speech is fantastic. Spelling, he knows everything.
Yeah.
He does. Spelling, he baffles me with spelling.
I'm dyslexic.
I'm pretty good with people's names.
Yeah, you do the name and he spells it out.
You are very good with people's names.
I get like that because I sign posters all day long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my, what do you call those things? My useless talent.
Well,
guessing how to spell a name.
It's nice to be able to spell people's names. Probably. Right. Whenever I very rarely...
You do it quite often. You do it almost every day.
Yeah.
Whenever I very rarely sign an autograph, which is very rare, I always get embarrassed when I'm asking, you know, how do you spell it? Oh, just T-O-M, you know, or whatever.
I use that when I've forgotten somebody's name.
Oh, yeah.
How do you spell your name again? And yeah, it's like Pete, P-E-T-E. Ugh. All right, Jimmy, we don't want to keep you any longer.
Okay.
We said...
It's been a pleasure.
Well, good. Thank you. It's been an honor for us.
Well, thank
it
you.
Really
We've had
has.
A great time.
Great stories.
Thanks for listening to What Happened in Vegas. Don't forget to follow us wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. Preferably a nice one, right?
Yeah. If you hated it, find five places you hated it and give us a star for each of those.
Yeah, if you get five good things from a podcast, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.